I'm part of this culture. What does this mean? You see, I mean, that's, well, I know, and we can preach, but it's like, it becomes kind of scary. How are we, if we're lost, and I'm not saying we are, but I'm just saying how difficult it is, how are we going to work this thing backwards? Now, the good news, there's a lot of good news. I can give you more examples. I'd love to go over. Go one more time. Go one more time. Go to Luke chapter 13, and I promise I'll quit. I promise I'll quit. Because I believe God sends, of course, people, prophets, messengers, whatever, to generations. And I believe Jesus came to His generation, His people. I believe He came right here. Jesus, I think, was right here. He came at the end of the third generation, the beginning of the fourth generation. Pretty easy to do that because He came in 30 A.D. And the nation was burnt down by the Romans in 70 A.D. 40 years. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of easy to do that if this works. But notice this right here. Chapter 13. And I'd like to build this whole thing up a little bit here, but I'm not going to. Because the last few chapters have all been on the same day. This is one day of Jesus' ministry. Several things taking place in the book of Luke here. Verse 13. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. In other words, you can tell them, Jesus, these people, got slaughtered by Pilate. Do you think these Galileans, Jesus says, were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Now, for years, people have preached that. Some people just can't get past salvation. You know, we're all sinners. We need Jesus Christ to be saved. Yes, that's true. That's a true application. Unless we repent, we're all going to perish in hell. But in context, Jesus is talking to His generation. He says, these people, Pilate killed them. He says, yeah. He says, unless you repent, you're all going to end up like that. And they did. Thousands of Jews were slaughtered in the temple precincts. Just like, that's what he saw. He says, unless you repent, you're going to all end up dead like that. He says, they're going to slaughter the whole town. Okay? But then he doesn't stop there. He goes, well, he says, how about this? They brought up the Galileans. He says, well, how about this one? He says, or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. They're building some kind of a tower construction site. I said, oh, no, look out. And 18 people were crushed in the falling tower. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? You think God just judged the wicked there that day? He says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. He says, and again, thousands died as the city was destroyed. I think he's talking about the future. Stay with me. Then he told them a parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So here's a vineyard, which, okay, I'm just going to interpret this for you. You don't have to accept it. Keep thinking. Vineyard would be the world. The fig tree would be Israel, one of the nations in the world. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now see, 3 years? For three seasons, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree. Now, three seasons for a fig tree is 12 months, 12 months, 12 months. But Jesus is not trying in the gardening here. He's not trying to save trees. He's talking about people. Here's one, two, three seasons. Three generations. I've been coming. Again, I'm reading this into this. Three generations. I've been coming to look for fruit on this. He says, I've been coming to this culture for three generations. I watched the sin for 3 to 4 generations. He says, for three generations now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, Israel, and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Get them out of here. In other words, he's pronouncing, I'm saying God the Father potentially saying it's time to judge this nation. Sir, the man replied, the one who takes care of the world, the vineyard, leave it alone for one more year. Give me one more generation. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And indeed he did. The church started right here in Jerusalem. Fertilized with his own blood, if you want to say that. If it bears fruit next year, fine, and we've saved the tree. Maybe Israel will repent with the starting of the church. If not, then cut it down. And indeed, I think you got that. Now, go to one more. This is part of the story. I'm not cheating here. Go to the on the road to the cross. And I don't have this verse written down right here. I got it down in the Bible somewhere. Yeah, there it is. Chapter 23, verse 28. Jesus has been beaten. He's already fallen. Simon is carrying the cross. I mean, the man should be delirious. Okay? I mean, you just mentioned crucifixion to me. I'm delirious. He's been beaten to death. And he's falling down, and as he's going, verse 27 of chapter 23 of Luke, a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Those are professional mourners. Don't get too worried about it. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say, 'The mountains fall on us and the hills cover us.'" Watch verse 31. "For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" In other words, three generations, 1, 2, 3, Jesus says in the parable, give me one more generation, and then if no fruit, then cut it down. Jesus is going to the crucifixion right here. And they're crying, "Oh, I can't believe this is happening." He says, "Don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and for your children." Let's say the children are 12 years old in 30 A.D. They live for 40 years. After 40 years, the tree is cut down. God does remove it from his protection. Says, "I'm done with Israel." These children are now 52. That was one of the most devastating times in the history of Israel. When the Jews came in 66 to 70 A.D., it talks about their Jerusalem had crosses surrounding it, and people were waiting to get on the crosses. The Romans had lines of people in front of the crosses, nailing them on both sides of the cross to crucify the Jews. When Jesus says, "Don't cry for me, but cry for yourselves and your children," when he's referring to the people that were going to be devastated in 70 AD in 40 years when the tree was cut down. Just another example. We can see many things in there like that. Anyway, we saw Israel fall tonight, and I think we showing certain signs of also we need to wake up as a culture, and I think, you know, that goes without saying. But I think we've got some things happening. In a sense, we are living at a very exciting time. Believe me. This is a time where God is trying to reach the people. God hasn't cut down our tree. We are still in the game. There are still things happening. This is a time where you're going to see great things from the people of God. You're going to see great things in as far as environment or weather patterns or whatever, or national events, international events, of God trying to wake us up. It could be very scary, but it could be very exciting. Remember, Jonah's message was 40 more days. Well, you know, if we go with my little chart, we've got, you know, a few years. We're not quite there yet. But even at 40 days left, the nation turned itself around, and within the next 20, 30 years, they were a powerful force again. There is hope for our culture, but it's going to take some repentance, and it's going to take some godly people, talking, living, and doing some things. Hey, I'm going to pray and let you go. I apologize that we went so long. Father, we thank you so much for your truth. We ask that we may hear these things, that we may apply them to our lives. I do thank you for the people that are here and ask that you reward them for the time they spent listening to your word. I ask that you bring teachers and instructors across their paths to clarify things and make things more applicable. And I do thank you so much for the chance to speak tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. There are CDs back there if you want to help yourself. Grab some books.